The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Welcome back, everybody. Did you miss us? I think you did, because you asked where we were last week, and we're back.
No, and
the Grinding Out Podcast. I'm the NFL chick.
Chelsea, a.k.a. Chelsea's Right.
And today we have a very special guest, and I'm going to let Chels do the honors.
So, since I came home for the holidays, I decided to finally get my dad on the podcast. So, Daddy, say hey to everybody. So my dad's a really, really big sports fan, baseball more than anything else, but he can definitely speak very capable of speaking all of sports. Yeah, he can speak about all of sports, and he is a Giants fan, so he and I may not be getting along in the next couple of weeks anyway, but I wanted to give him an opportunity to get on the podcast with us and give us his perspective about some of the things that's going on around the NFL. And we did warn him that we curse.
Yes.
Sometimes you gotta drop an F-bomb.
But
we're gonna try not to do it today. He's laughing and stuff. If it was just me on here, he'd be talking about me cursing, but we're gonna try to keep it clean. You know, yeah. He has a holy and sanctified daughter, so here we go.
We'll drop the F-bombs next week, like you like it. But today we gotta act good in front of company. All right, so there's a couple of things that happened. Obviously, some guys got fired, the most notingly Jeff Fisher. And I say most notingly because he just received the contract extension for 2 years just a couple weeks ago. And then he got canned. And then and Gus Bradley, which we all saw that coming. I think most of us thought he should have been fired, was fired. So what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts about Jeff Fisher's firing? Because Gus Bradley was going to happen. But the Jeff Fisher situation was very fluid, which was odd to a lot of people. So I want to get you guys' thoughts on Jeff Fisher's firing. And then I want to know who you guys think would be ideal candidates for both vacancies.
We'll let our guests go first.
Yes.
Well, Jeff Fisher had a it wasn't surprising to me that he got fired. But I didn't think that he would be fired before the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You had 2 to 3 games left in the season, and if I were the owner of the Rams, I would have fired him on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, after the end of the season. They were not going to the playoffs. I think that they should have waited until the end of the season to fire him. But I think he deserved to be fired.
I agree. And what was also very interesting is how vocal his players were when he got fired. I mean,
yes.
My father's on Twitter, so I'll just tell you what Todd Gurley and I think it was Aaron Donald and one other player with Tavon Austin. They all tweeted out, "Thank goodness, God is good."
No, that's not what happened. That's not true. Somebody must have searched those names and God and found those tweets, and then they put them together. Tavon Austin actually came out and said he put a long post on Instagram about how Jeff Fisher treated him like a son and how he was very sad that he was leaving because he took a chance and drafted him. He had this heartfelt
you had to like me because I fell for the fake tweets. I thought that
fake. They were real. They were real tweets. They just didn't happen when he got fired.
Okay. So they said God is good, but not after he got fired.
Correct. That's correct. So Tavon Austin had this real heartfelt thing that he said about Jeff Fisher, about how he took a chance at him because, you know, he was the top 10 pick. And I guess Jeff Fisher was the driving force to that. It was really nice, blah, blah, blah. But Todd Gurley said that they played like middle school girls, whatever he said. So obviously the offense was pedestrian. It was time for him to go.
It was time for him to go. I mean, he asked Dan Reeves for losing his coach in NFL history. So
he's mediocre. Does anybody think that is that ironic that he got fired before that could actually happen?
Before that can actually happen. That's messed up. They could have let him just bomb out some people. That's messed up.
So obviously,
that's a good job. It was a good job. Good job. You're in LA.
Which job is the better job?
The Rams.
Rams. That's better than the Jaguars.
Okay, so I don't like Blake Bortles. I do think that he has issues, but I am going to go the other way. They got good skill players. They need coaching. That is the quarterback is the biggest issue. But if you can find someone serviceable, like how Buffalo did Tyrod, I feel like that they would be okay. Mm-hmm. You have really two really good wide receivers, a decent tight end, some good running backs. You have good players on defense. I don't think that Jacksonville is too far off. I just think that Blake Bortles is a mess, and that's why they got fired to begin with.
And Jacksonville has a lot of money, too.
Yeah, because they don't spend no money. What they do is they draft players. They don't spend money at all.
That's a very valid point, but I still think the Rams job, like, if I was somebody, like, people have been floating around the name Sean Payton's name. If I was Sean Payton, I wouldn't go to Jacksonville. I would go to L.A.
Hell yeah. I would go to L.A. I mean,
Aaron Donald? Yeah, buddy. I'm in L.A.
Now, but Jared Goff is your quarterback.
I feel like Sean Payton can do something with him. Never have done it then. Jeff Fisher was going to ruin him just like he ruined every other quarterback he's ever been there.
It's kind of true. So your dad is with the Rams. But Dad, who do you think is a good fit for the Rams?
Jay Gruden.
You're right. Jay Gruden interview. Jay Gruden will interview. But you're Jay Gruden or John?
Jay Gruden.
John Gruden.
His name has come
John
up.
Gruden is going.
Huh? His name has come
yeah,
up.
His name has come up.
Like it does every year. It's back in the news.
He's going to interview, but he's not giving up that ESPN position.
No. No.
He gets too much attention.
It's too sweet. And he's good at what he does. So,
yeah, he's good with quarterbacks.
Yes, he is. I completely agree. I'm curious to know what job would force John Gruden for him to come out of retirement. I would love to know.
They would have to pay him some money.
Yeah, because he's getting good money, good guaranteed money at ESPN. Mm-hmm. That would be hard.
That would be hard. But yeah, he would definitely be a good fit. But what about Jacksonville?
I say, Tom Coughlin is good. He's also pretty good with trying to get quarterbacks together. Tom, all right, so Dad, who's a good fit for Jacksonville?
Tom Coughlin.
That's fair.
Because
he's been there before, and yep. He's proven to be a winner. He was a winner with the won two Super Bowls with the New York Football.
And he wants to coach again.
And honestly, he was the first coach that Jacksonville had, and they weren't good when he got them, and he turned Mark Brunell and Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell into a real force and a real tandem. So with the Allen and Allen show, that could be real fun for Tom Coughlin to have that job. I'm definitely curious to see how this Tom Coughlin, because they said before he was super militant, but he's much more lax now, I guess, with the Giants he had been. I'm curious to see how this Tom Coughlin does with that Jacksonville team. Because they do have some pieces. They need a quarterback because that quarterback stinks. All right, so listen, speaking of quarterbacks, this one doesn't really stink, but, you know, he's had some issues getting flags this year. So Cam Newton played last Monday Night Football for the Reds with the Redskins, against the Redskins, excuse me. And Cam got hit. I can't remember the linebacker that put the hit on him, but he was sliding to give up on the play. It was a busted play that he turned into a run play. He was sliding on the play, and the defender took a hit to him. The flag comes out shortly thereafter, and then you see Cam get up and, like, do some type of spin thing on the ball. We think, and I think that the good consensus of people are thinking it's a personal foul on the defense, and Walt Coleman says personal foul on sportsmanlike conduct number one. We know that Cam has gone to the commissioner. We know that Cam has protested about these issues with him getting hit and not being called. If you're Cam or if you're Ron Rivera, what do you do from this point on? Because obviously, they whatever he said before, they still ain't heard and they still don't care.
Ron Rivera has to say something because he's going to get his quarterback killed. I mean, that was absolutely absurd that Cam did not get that call. And there probably were some other things that we probably missed in the game, but that really stood out a whole lot. It was dangerous. I mean, everybody that saw it kind of, you know, jumped a little bit. It was really dangerous. And then to give him a penalty for flipping the ball, no, Cam Newton should not have thrown that ball at that guy. But, you know, you have to use your eyes on the field. Like, I really don't know what these refs are doing. I'll be glad when the refs go to full time so that they can include training in their group training, cross training, or whatever,
some kind of training.
In their role, some kind of training, because they're missing so many things. They're letting things go that shouldn't be let go, and then they're calling things that aren't there, you know. So Cam has a good look. You let that happen to Tom Brady. You let him slide and get hit. Somebody they might. I mean, the fines would be raining down. And people make the correlation that they're treating Cam like how the NBA, how they treat a Shaq because he's so big, it's hard to call things. Yeah, but you can't get the man killed out there.
What you think, Dan?
Well, I saw the play, and I thought it was fouled on the defense. And but Cam has to realize that he's a marked man. Any little thing that he may do is going to get called. And by him flipping the ball, which was ridiculous. I didn't think he should have been flagged for it. But he was flagged for it because the Panthers the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, things changed after that.
Yeah,
things
no,
changed. That changed a lot of things after that, yes.
I agree. Absolutely. I agree with your dad, though. I don't think that, like, when he did it, to me, it didn't warrant a flag. Like, I've seen Steve Smith does it all the time. Like, regularly, first downs, not a first down, it doesn't matter. That's his thing. He gets up and spins the ball. That's what he does. I very rarely have seen him get flagged as a result. Walt Coleman made some excuse about it didn't look intentional. I can't remember the word that he used because Pro Football Talk. What was the word?
Taunting.
No. The word that they
hit on Cam.
It was about the rule of the play. And I can't remember the word that they used to say that it didn't warrant that based on that rule. And Pro Football Talk was saying, okay, well then let's get rid of that rule. Like that, I mean, that word out of the rule. It's stupid. Here it is. The NFL should forcible, guys. That's the word that he used. Okay. I didn't see any forcible contact with the head. But see, at the end of the day, that's subjective because, again, like you said, if it's Tom Brady or if it's Andrew Luck or anybody else, they get that call 10 out of 10 times. So let's take away forcible because people get flagged for face masks and it's not forcible. Half the time, it's not forcible. It's just the contact of the hand to the face mask and they're not pulling it, but they still get a penalty. So if that is clear and cut, why is not a helmet to helmet clear and cut? That's the part that I don't understand. If the league is so big about player safety, do something about player safety and don't give me that forcible crap. That's bull crap. See, I didn't curse. I didn't curse.
Yeah, you did very good. You did very good. But and also, how many people are going to start doing knowing, you know, defenders once they start realizing what they can get away with when they're playing against them?
There it is. That's super dangerous. What you think? Your thoughts, Dad?
Well, I think that I think that you're correct. I mean, but what he has to do, he cannot put himself in a position to get these calls, and which I mean, put himself in a position in which the calls may go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. On the close calls, it's my opinion that they are not going in favor of Cam Newton.
Nope.
Yep. You're right.
Nope, they're not going.
If I'm Ron Rivera, I'm petting. We're not. I mean, they have a. I mean, they, I don't think they've been. Have they been physically eliminated, like officially eliminated from playoffs?
Not officially, like, but they would need like so much help.
They would need like a ton of help.
Other people to lose, like, it's crazy.
I would sit Cam down for the rest of the game, for the rest of the year, until next year, until somebody tells me that they gonna make some changes. Don't keep putting that man in harm's way and then say that player safety is important. No, it's not. Your actions is not showing what your words are saying, and that's BS. Every quarterback should be treated equal. It's just ridiculous that they've even tried to fake us out to believe that rule applies, because it doesn't. It's clear it hasn't.
Absolutely.
Well, Cam is frustrated anyway, mm-hmm. because that offensive line in which he's playing behind is going to get him killed.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you're frustrated, and I'm sure that what he did when he flipped the ball was probably out of frustration, not maybe with that play, but he was being beat up like a drum last night. Mm-hmm. And yep. that offensive line wasn't helping.
They've been bad all year, to be honest.
Yeah.
They've been bad all year. So he's been struggling all year.
Ron Rivera, he's not going to sit him down. Ron Rivera wants as many wins under his belt as he can, because he doesn't know when that day will come in which they say, you're out of here.
Yep.
It might be soon.
It might be soon.
Because I think they wanted to probably get rid of him 2 years ago, but then last year you had that great year, so you kind of can't get rid of him, but now you kind of have a reason to. I know they won't. And so I was completely speaking, you know, hypothetically. My thing is that, you know, these people, they come to see stars. And when you start taking the stars away and people start complaining, people start making changes. And sometimes that's necessary. But you're right. I don't think it happens. Not from that perspective anyway. Bill Belichick might be more suited to do it. And they'd still win football games. Speaking of Bill Belichick, but anyway, let's get to the next topic, which is celebrations and such. So obviously we know that Odell Beckham Jr. of your football Giants, that is a serial celebrator. He loves to celebrate and he gets fines in the process. Le'Veon Bell, I believe last week, got fined because him and Antonio Brown had a handshake after a play or after a touchdown. And then come Sunday night, you had Ezekiel Elliott, who scored a touchdown, and he ran and kind of like hopped into the Salvation Army pot, which, you know, all of it's entertaining. But we know that the No Fun League doesn't like celebrations. He was then advised that he would not be fined. Prior to that, he said that he was going to match whatever the fine was and give it to the Salvation Army. And then later he had learned that he would not be fined. So mm-hmm. OBJ.
And he still is going to give.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
He is not going to be found, but he did pledge $21,000 to the
Salvation. Right, yes, he's still going to pledge give a donation as a result. Meanwhile, Le'Veon Bell and OBJ goes to Twitter and says, "Oh my God, I can't believe this. If this was me, it would have been this and blah blah blah, yada yada yada." So, do they have a point, or are they just whining and we're not really feeling it because we don't care?
You go first, since that's your boy.
I think they have a point. I think that if Beckham had jumped into the Salvation Army Kittle, he would have been fired before you could blink your eye. There's no question about it. As far as celebration is concerned, I think they take it too seriously because it's entertainment, and I think the fans love it. I don't see any problem with after a score or whatever.
I don't see any problem with the celebrations. And I think that, celebrations was one of the things that was so entertaining about football. Like, you know, we can think back to, like, the Icky Shuffle and things like that, and the Dirty Bird and everything. Yeah, with T.O. Yale. I thought the celebrations were entertaining, but at some point the NFL turned into the No Fun League, and now every single thing is getting a everybody's getting a fine for excessive celebration. There's an extra word, excessive celebration. As far as Odell Beckham, for however many times he got into the end zone this year, he has a complete dance routine lined up every time. He already draws a lot of attention to himself. My dad's over here. I love it. Yes, he draws a lot of attention to himself. He celebrates. He's on the sideline proposing to the net. He's, you know, he does a whole lot. So for me, when you are someone who draws so much attention to yourself, you cannot then just say, oh, if that was me. Yes, of course, because you probably would have done the waltz all around the field and then jumped into the damn kettle. So Yes, I think that I do not think that they should, that all of these people should be fined. I do not think that Le'Veon Bell should be fined. I think the celebrations are entertaining and whatever. But shut up. About the fact that celebrations shouldn't be fined at all. Don't say it like, oh, well, you got away with something and I didn't.
Well, he did.
It doesn't matter. OBJ does the most.
I am. Okay, so he's right. I'm not going to take away the fact that he has a valid point, but at the same time, I mean, I agree that that's just kind of like we're used to you by now, sir. We're used to you being who you are, which I have absolutely no issues with. I like, yes, OBJ is extra, but, you know, for the most part for me, I find him pretty entertainment. I agree in his point, but the thing that OBJ and Le'Veon Bell have not come to realize is how bad of a PR move would it have been if you find somebody that goes into a Salvation Army pod. That's bad PR.
It is.
It's not a good look. So maybe the NFL didn't find him, not because it was Ezekiel Elliott, not because it was the Cowboys, but because of the prop in which he was in. It would not have been a good look. And the NFL already has enough bad PR, and they probably was like, okay, we're going to have to let this one slide. People are going to be mad, and they got a right to be mad, but we're going to go ahead and let this one slide. And I think that's a good point.
No, Salvation Army wasn't mad at all. And they got like $182,000 so far after that game, pledges of like $100,000.
Yep.
But Jason Garrett made a good point too. He was like, well, I guess you can't find that if you don't find the Lambeau Leap.
No, that's I think we all agree.
Yeah.
Your dad, me, you, that celebrations are fine and that we like celebrations. The problem is, like you said, like he said, is like we're picking and choosing what we find. So Lambeau Leap is quote unquote tradition, I guess, right? Is that why we have no problem with it? But to me, it makes no
difference. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. It's tradition, and if you go against tradition, and you know how the Packers are like one of the oldest teams, and all of that kind of stuff. So they get away with that, but it's still a celebration.
Yep.
So do we need to go back to the drawing board and define what a celebration is?
No, we just need to let it happen.
Yeah, just let it happen. But it's the excessive. Like, I don't think that you should.
It's 9:30.
I don't think that you should be using props. Yeah, I love that. I don't think you should be using props and, you know, all kinds of stuff out there. And it shouldn't be excessive. But, you know, celebrating for 10, 15 seconds, that's completely fine.
Or maybe we should have put a time limit on celebration.
I said celebrate for 10 or 15 seconds.
Well, but yeah, you know, they, you know, you talk about what is excessive. Talking about excessive because of the makeup of the celebration, or are they talking about it takes up more time than is really necessary?
I don't think they care about time. I think they care about does it look like you're taunting the other team too much? But it, you know, the taunting calls have kicked up too.
Very true.
So, I think that's what it is, you know. If you don't want people to celebrate in the end zone, there's a way to stop that.
Yep. Stop them.
Don't let them get in there.
Stop them.
In there.
That's how I see it. You got a problem with it? Stop them. Yep. Stop them. All right, guys. So it's week 16. So that means it's two more weeks of NFL games before the playoffs come. So let's get some picks going on. We have on Thursday, we have Dad's Football Giants at the Philadelphia Eagles.
What's your pick?
The Giants.
I would like for the Eagles to do me a solid here, but I don't think they are. I think the Giants are going to go in and win them and beat them.
Yeah, the Giants are playing defensively. They're playing so well right now. It's pretty scary how, like, just even without JPP, they just have decided that they are not going to be playing with anybody on defense. So I guess I'm going to go with the G-Men. Miami at Buffalo.
That should be an interesting one.
It is.
At Buffalo? Oh, it's going to be freezing. Buffalo.
I got Miami.
This is a flip a coin game for me because Miami is fighting for their playoff lives. I need Miami to lose for certain reasons of my own, but I'm going to pick Buffalo in hopes that Buffalo does a favor for me. Please, Buffalo, do me a favor and beat Miami. Washington at Chicago.
Was it Washington?
Yeah, they're in Chicago.
Well, Washington in Chicago. You know, the Bears, the thing about the Bears is who's going to show up, because it's going to be the Bears that came back and almost beat the Packers last week. But I think that Washington probably will go down there and take care of business. I think last night was quite a bit on them. I think they're going to go there and take care of business.
I got the Redskins.
Yeah, I'm picking the Redskins. They are still fighting for their playoff lives. I think that they'll do it. But I'm with you though, Chell. Chicago is. They've been trying to play spoiler, so that eventually that's got to click somewhere for them. San Diego at Cleveland. Is this the week that Cleveland gets their first win?
How many times are you going to say that?
No, it's not.
You just should see he lean forward and everything like, cut, no. You don't think RG3 is going to pull out the first win?
RG3 and 4 either. No.
Yeah, right. Phillip Rivers ain't going to let that happen.
Listen, I think that San Diego demolishes Cleveland. Like, they're not going to – because they don't want to be the team that loses to Cleveland. So they're going to, like – no one wants to be the team. It's going to be bad.
San Diego.
All right, this is an interesting one, guys. Minnesota at Green Bay.
You know, Green Bay is hot right now. And I know what hot Green Bay at the end of the year going into the playoffs, possibly going into the playoffs, looks like. I have no reason to pick Minnesota. I'm going to pick a Green Bay on that one. But it is a division game, so you never know.
I'm going to take a long shot. I'm going with Minnesota.
You a lone wolf? Are you going to be the lone wolf?
I know I am, but I'm going with Minnesota.
No, I think I'm going to go with you. They got skull drag last week. Listen, when you get your – all right, listen. You're going to have to excuse my curse word, because I got a curse here, Dad. This is where I got to use my curse word. Let me get my free curse word free. My one curse word free. When you get your ass beat like that at home, you can't lose the next week. History shows when you get your ass whooped like that, you usually come back with a fire.
Yeah. So I don't want to play after that.
I think.
I don't want to play that. I'm going with Minnesota.
I'm with you. I think they took that whooping kind of hard. I mean, if you looked at, they had Indianapolis with 3 missing offensive linemen and got beat down the way that they did.
Wow.
You can't go nowhere but up. You can't. The Jets at New England. Maybe we would have cared about this early in the season. We don't care now.
Do not care. New England next. What do you say?
I got the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah, next, Atlanta and Carolina. Does Carolina mess up Atlanta? Oh, well, they won the division, I believe, so.
Who did?
I think Atlanta did.
Already? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, is Julio Jones coming back? I mean, they won the division, but do they still have a chance to get to change their seeding?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. They match up pretty well. They both kind of make lots of the same mistakes. I'll just go with Atlanta. I have no reason, because I know how Atlanta just lets me down all the time. So, what do you think?
I'm going with the Panthers.
For no reason at all.
I kind of want to go with the Panthers, because I feel like they're going to be super petty. Because remember last year when – because I'm sorry, guys. I don't think they won a division yet, because they're only one game behind Tampa. And remember last year when they was trying to go undefeated in the regular season, how Atlanta spoiled that party? They might want some payback.
Yeah.
Okay, I ain't doing it. I'm not picking it. I'm picking Atlanta.
Now you lost. I was getting ready to say, now that's 2 times y'all leave me by myself out here.
All right, Tennessee and Jacksonville. I mean, really?
Tennessee should take care of that. I mean, who knows what's even going on in Jacksonville right now? So Doug Marrone, yeah, whatever.
It's not going to change. No. I got Tennessee.
Yeah,
me too. Indianapolis at Oakland.
Ho 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 ho!
I'm going with the Raiders.
I'm going with the future Las Vegas Raiders myself.
As am I. Oh, God, this is a horrible game. San Francisco at Los Angeles.
Why don't you laugh like that?
I'm laughing because both of them stink.
I don't know. I'm just going to pick San Francisco. I don't know.
He over there thinking. He's a deep thought.
No, he has a protest vote over here. He ain't saying nothing.
What do you say? I
think I'm gonna go with San Francisco as well. Why not? I think that's the only win that they have.
The one win they got was against the Rams.
He said he's going with the Rams. Say it again.
I'm going with the Rams because of their superior defense.
Okay. Yeah, because San Francisco sure than that one.
No. All their defensive players are tired.
All right, Tampa Bay at New Orleans.
Oh, that's a game right there. Look, Drew Brees is not the person that you play against and turn the ball over so many times, Jameis.
Yeah, can't do that.
I think the New Orleans may ruin Tampa Bay's chances. May ruin their chances. The Redskins helped them out last night, but I think New Orleans might take that back from them.
Well, I'm going with Tampa Bay. I think that after that game on Sunday night with Dallas and the mistakes, the turnovers that Tampa Bay had, I think that they are coming back against New Orleans.
I think I'm going to go with New Orleans. I think that it's going to be close because New Orleans' defense isn't that great and Tampa's defense has gotten better. But I don't know. Something about New Orleans, they're just not – they're like roach. They don't want to go away. Like,
where are they playing?
In New Orleans, which doesn't mean anything anymore. The Superdome isn't, you know, that. But I don't know. I just feel like New Orleans is trying to say – look, all right, I know we are not that great, but at least we're going to finish 500 because as of right now, they're 6-8. So I'm going to roll with the Saints. All right, Arizona and Seattle. Mm.
You know, Arizona has been very disappointing this year. For a team
that
went to the last year. I mean, good God. So I'm going to go ahead and go with Seattle.
Both teams. Both NFC Championship teams.
Both of them, yeah. I'm going to go with Seattle.
Well, Seattle has been up and down. They play good one week, and then the next week they may score only 3 points. So, but since I was out there for a while, I'm going with the Seahawks.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with the Seahawks, too. I really don't have a reason because, like you said, they're too inconsistent, but they're the better team of the two at this point. So I guess I'll roll with them. Cincinnati at Houston, the Tom Savage-led Houston Texans.
Tom Savage's Houston Texans. Cincinnati, what's Cincinnati's record?
5-8-1.
The Texans are going to need to take this. You know what? I'm going to pick Cincinnati just because I like controversy.
I'm going with Cincinnati.
I'm going with Cincinnati, too.
I thought I was being controversial.
No, I'm going with Cincinnati. I mean, I don't know if A.J. Green comes back this week or next week. I mean, they're really not playing for nothing, but I think they like playing spoiler. They got Houston this week, and then they got Baltimore next week. So I think they just want to play spoiler at this point. I'm definitely picking the Bengals. All right. We got Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
You know, I love you so much, Rita, but I think I'm going to have to pick Pittsburgh. Y'all almost let the Eagles come back and beat y'all last week. And they stink. So I think that the Steelers, I think it's involved.
That's what happens when you play prevent, though. That is a production of prevent because they were up 10 points with like under 6 minutes to go.
Right. Yeah. So
Ravens are stupid.
Yeah, I'm going ahead and pick. I'm picking Pittsburgh on that one. Which?
I'm going with the Ravens.
All right, Dad.
See, for what? Why? You don't want to upset Rita?
No, I just got a feeling that it's the Ravens' time and play great against the Eagles last week. But it's a lot on the line for them this week, and it's almost like it's a must-win game for the Ravens, and I think the Ravens will win.
I go back and forth. I don't know. I mean, I want to pick the Ravens, but then the Ravens haven't won away since September, which stinks. But the Ravens have won 4 straight against Pittsburgh. There's so many things. Like, I just don't know what team is going to show up. So, this really is a coin toss for me. I guess, I don't know. I mean, Pittsburgh didn't play well last week either. I don't know. I'm just going to say, you know how when you bet and it says even, I'm just going to go ahead and say even because I don't know. I can't pick right now, damn it. All right. Denver at Kansas City is the 8:30 game on Christmas Day.
I
got Kansas City, too. And Denver's offense and Denver's defense might be fighting each other that day.
What, again? You mean for like the third time?
Again.
I got Kansas City as well. But bad Alex Smith cannot show up against that Denver defense, or else it's going to be a long day.
That's going to be a problem.
And Monday night, we got your Dallas Cowboys, Chels, host the Detroit Lions.
Aha! I think the Cowboys get it done on Monday.
Dad is always a deep thought.
I'm gonna pick the Lions.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. I wish people could see your face.
I'm so shocked.
Anyway, I'm gonna pick the Lions.
Why?
Well, Dallas didn't really impress me for the last 2 weeks. They didn't impress me against, of course, they didn't impress me against the G-Men. But last week against Tampa Bay made too many turnovers. But for the turnovers, it would have been a closer game, and I think Tampa Bay would have won. And after this game on Sunday, which was a pretty devastating defeat at the hands of the Giants, I think that the Lions are going to come back roaring. And they're going to be roaring against those guys in Dallas.
That was real dramatic, too. That was so dramatic.
He was absolutely dramatic with it.
The Lions will be roaring in Dallas.
The Lions are con artists to me. I'm not moved. They've led the league. They've had like 9 or 10 fourth quarter comebacks. I'm not impressed. I'm picking Dallas.
Thank you, Rita. Thank you. Get out of here, Dad. I mean, that didn't even make any sense. And everybody knows that, but the Lions do not roar at the end of the year.
They gonna roar Monday night.
No, they ain't. What's the next one? Is that it?
Oh, almost done. We have to talk about this before we go.
We have to talk.
So we know bowl season is on its way. We love bowl season if you're a college football fan like Chels and I are. But there's a lot of controversy going around because you have Leonard Fournette of LSU as well as Christian McCaffrey of Stanford both saying that they are not playing in their respective bowl games so they can prepare for the NFL draft. A lot of people have been getting on these young men about their decision, calling them selfish, saying that, you know, they don't have any loyalty to their teammates. I just want to get your thoughts. I've been very vocal on Twitter about it, and I'll reiterate it on the podcast, but I just wanted to get your thoughts and Dad, you know, because you don't have a Twitter. This is where you can sound off as well.
He does have a Twitter. He just don't tweet.
Right.
You might not even know how to log on to it, but anyway, I have no problem with Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey deciding to sit out of the bowl game and prepare for entering the NFL draft. I think that they have both sacrificed their bodies enough this season. Both of them have been injured this season, and I think they need to preserve their draft stock. We saw what happened to Jalen Smith last year. He played in his bowl game, and his injury is very significant. He's very, very lucky that the Cowboys saw past that, but it still makes me very nervous because he has a nerve injury. Like, you're talking about, oh, I want to play football again. How about let's learn how to walk and your foot to bend like it's supposed to bend again? So I think that you know, bowl games are an opportunity to – you know, close out the year with your teammates and all of those good things. And these guys know that they won't be back next year. But I mean, it's, you know, that's their choice. I've been very vocal, especially about Leonard Fournette. I'm like, you should have sat out most of this year anyway to get ready for the NFL. I think that these college players are exploited big time. You know, people like to say, oh, well, they do get paid. They get a free education. Yeah, because the team is going to say, oh, you need to study for your test, or we'll give you a little bit of extra time to study for your test. No, that's not going like that. So I don't have any problem with it. Not at all.
Dad?
Well, I have a problem with it. I think it's the school, the team, made it possible for these players to get where they are. So you become a number one or number two draft pick because of a winning team. The big schools, and I think it's very selfish when you say, well, look, I'm going to sit out this bowl game because I'm afraid that I may get injured or something, and it would have an effect on my NFL career. Well, your NFL career is not something that is guaranteed. You could one hit in spring fall training could last the year, or you know, end your career right then. So I think I don't agree with the concept of, well, I'm not going to play because it's going to have an effect on my draft stock.
So I'm with you, Chels. I've been very vocal about this. These I really think it's, I hate to use this term, but I really don't know how else to look at it. I feel like that this is a sports version of indentured servant. They are paid in quote unquote education, which, let's be honest, these coaches don't care about education. They don't. They want these guys to play football while they get paid millions of dollars to coach them. I have a problem with the NCAA exploiting these young men while they make millions of dollars off of these guys. And when you see guys like Jalen Smith or Willis McGahee, which I'm not going to even be mad at Willis McGahee because he was playing on a championship team. But when you see he was a top 10 pick before that injury, and then he lost millions of dollars as a result. And a lot of these kids are playing football so they can potentially feed their families. The NCAA is robbing these kids, and that's the problem. That's the problem that I have more than anything. Is it a bit selfish? Yes, but you know, at the end of the day, when they leave those schools, nobody else is going to pay their bills, and their family is relying on them to pay their bills. When these head coaches leave and they go to these other schools, we never complain. Never. Bobby Petrino has been the king of controversy, and he continues to get jobs. Tom Herman left his school, and he's not coaching a bowl game, and no one cares. But now we care that these young men want to find ways to prepare so they can provide for their families. And I think my thing is I want people to be consistent. I don't have a problem with people feeling how they feel about these young men playing, but then have a problem with these coaches rolling out on these kids after they made commitments to these children, because they go in these kids' homes and tell these kids that they want them to be a part of their success, and then they go elsewhere knowing that they have these other jobs waiting for them to move on. So that's the problem that I have. I want people to be consistent across the board. If you got a problem with these players, then have a problem with these coaches that roll out on these kids.
And I didn't realize Tom Herman wasn't coaching the bowl game. And I think that's way worse than Leonard Fournette deciding to protect his draft stock. And just like you said, these kids have families, children. Some of these students have children. Leonard Fournette has a child. Trent came into the NFL with three children. So, you know, you're recruiting in impoverished areas, disenfranchised children or whatever, mostly black kids. Their families can't afford to fly all over the country to see them play. You're technically, quote unquote, you can't pay for their families to do all of this stuff. And these kids have a lot of responsibility. You know, they're in college and they're getting all of this, you know, they have room and board, but what about their families back at home? Like everybody's life is not the same. Now, we know Christian McCaffrey comes from a long line of athletes, a long line of very successful athletes. And his father, I believe, played for the Broncos.
Yes.
He feels the same way, and he knows that he's not coming to the draft in the first or second round either.
Right.
He knows that. He's not coming in the first or second round. So he's protecting himself. So where I do agree with the, I think what my dad is talking about, the camaraderie of it, and what he said is similar to what Ezekiel Elliott said. It's similar to what Jalen Smith said. Even though he had that injury, Jalen Smith said if he could do it all over again, he'd do it all over again. Ezekiel Elliott said, you know, he would never miss that. He would never not have that opportunity to, you know, never miss that opportunity to be able to play with his teammates again. But he's also
Ezekiel Elliott could have played a whole nother year. So, please, I don't want to hear that from Ezekiel Elliott or Marshall Faulk.
I know. It's almost like
people that
– because it didn't happen.
Right. If you had an extra year eligibility, right, you should be quiet. That's how I feel about it. Like, let people do what they want to do.
Right. So, so a lot of people, you know, it's a lot of, you know, it's, well, yeah, oh, I would do it all over again. No, you wouldn't. Jalen Smith really had a bad injury. You would not do that all over again. But, you know, just like you said, it goes back to being consistent. You get the grown, mature adult coaches that are getting away with things, and you hold these kids under a microscope, and then you throw this, oh, but you get a free education, and you know that they are not allowed to sit in class and have their study time and do all of these things, and they're on the road half of the time during at least that semester of school. So stop throwing the education thing in their face anyway. But yeah, I think they should do what they want to do. I mean, I don't even think it should be anything that's controversial. Like, you want to stay and play in the bowl game, cool. If you don't, that's cool too. And unfortunately, it will affect their draft stocks negatively, because NFL scouts look at that. They look at, did you quit on your team? That's how they look at it.
I think that's bull too. I think if people think that Leonard Fournette is a top 10 pick, he's going in the top. I would not be surprised if Leonard Fournette went in the top 10. I would not be surprised if Christian McCaffrey went where he's supposed to go. I think that five out of 32 GMs probably think that, and the rest of them don't care. That's what I think.
You could be a fool if you let that affect somebody, especially somebody like Leonard Fournette.
See, that's talk. Talk is all good. It's all good till it comes down to it. But when draft day comes, you're going to say, I'm going to pass him by because he ain't playing that bowl game. What bowl game was it again? I don't remember. Yeah, I don't even remember what it was.
The chewing gum bowl. Oh, okay. Yeah, who cares? Who cares? But it is what it is. You can't stop them. You know, unless you're going to make it some kind of mandate, you can't stop them. So it is what it is.
Dad, final thoughts?
No final thoughts. I'm sticking with my point.
You sticking to your guns.
Yeah, that's my final word.
That's what he said, and he ain't saying no more. We want to thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you.
We always hear about your expertise, so we wanted to get it in person and have everybody else hear it. Would you like to have some closing thoughts about anything? It could be your Giants, it could be baseball, it could be whatever.
Well, I'm a big baseball fan, a big New York Yankee fan, and the Yankees.
Yes, she's an Orioles fan.
Oh, okay. we're trying to go young now. In the next couple of years, I would say in 2018, the Yankees will be all the way back. We'll drop some big payrolls. Sabathia's will be off the book, and A-Rod's salary will be off the book. Mm-hmm. And, we'll be back in business. Mm-hmm. And thank you for having me on.
So, thank you for coming.
I would just like to say, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah and happy Kwanzaa to the Negroes out there who celebrate Kwanzaa. I hope that the Cowboys don't break my heart here in the last couple of weeks. You know, I am always cautiously optimistic, and I'm looking forward to a good weekend of football this weekend.
I am as well. I am hoping that your dad is right and that somehow the Ravens figure a way to
10 o'clock.
Win. Because if they win, they essentially, I don't know, I think they got to win out. But still, I don't even want to think about it. I just need them to win. I need them to win. So Ravens need to win it, and we'll go from there. Hopefully, in a couple of weeks, all three of our teams will be in the playoffs. It'll be something to talk about, but there's a very good chance that mine won't be. So, it's football. I'm going to enjoy these bowl games, and we will definitely be back next week, because next week we have to start talking about bowl season. Playoffs time is coming, and that's definitely, obviously, Alabama is in it, so we got to talk about that. So we definitely will be back next week. I can't get my words out because I'm tired. We will be back next week. I want to thank your dad for being awesome and giving us his commentary.
Thank you for talking about baseball. You see how it seemed like he was holding that in.
Yes, he couldn't wait to talk about baseball.
He said, I can say something about baseball. Look, baseball podcast.
All right, guys. Till next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.